I got three pots up here. One of them, you notice I got stuff written all over it and it's broken. The other two are perfectly good clay pots. And we're going to write something here on it a little bit, but I want you to look at these three pots. Which one represents you? Our passage today is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to focus mainly on verses 6 and 7, but did you know that God wants to use each one of us? And he's put something deep inside of us, a treasure that is hidden from people who do not have that treasure within inside of them. And yet God wants for us to reveal that treasure to them. So before we get started, I'm just going to pray and ask God to open our hearts up, because I want him to speak to you this morning and not me. So let's pray. Father, you know what my week's been like, and you know what you've placed on my heart the last couple of days. But that's a burden you've laid on my heart. It may be something directly for me and not for each person sitting here. And God, you know what's going on inside of them I cannot see. Maybe their spirit is crushed. Maybe they feel like their walls of life are closing in around them. But God, each inside of one of them sitting here today is a hidden treasure, something that you want the whole world to see. So God, I ask that your spirit speak directly to each individual sitting here. Give them what you want them to hear from your word, and not what I want them to hear. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to put 2 Corinthians up there on the screen. And actually, I'm going to get my paper out, because can you read that? I can. 2 Corinthians 1, I'm going to read 1 through 10, but what you're going to have up there as you read through it, will you be able to break that down into verses 6 and 7 when we get to it? All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since God, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." The first thing that I want you guys to understand is that you and I have a ministry. We have a ministry, folks. And as we go on through, you'll see what that ministry is. "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Because the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and as ourselves, as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." Now, which one of these clay pots would you rather be? I ask this question because Yesterday, Friday, we broke this pot at home and glued it back together. Which one would you rather be? One broken and then fixed, okay. And there's no right or wrong answer to this question. I want getting your minds thinking here. I wrote around all the broken pieces in here different things. Rejection, gossip, lust, adultery, lies, stealing. And I ask this question because in the Corinthians that we just read, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that you and I are like this fragile clay pot. This is real clay, so it will break if I drop it. And that's why I brought the bags up here, because we will break one of these. However, there is something about that Almighty God would consider you and I, this, use this as an example, as fragile clay pot like this, and put something deep inside of us that is hidden. Now, in Sunday school class this morning, we talked from Romans 12, verse 1, where it says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present yourselves living sacrifices. And we read some other scripture verses, and a couple questions came out of that, and I hope we can tie this together from Sunday school class to here. In Romans 8, at the end of Romans it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not any persecution, no trials, no tribulations, nothing can separate us from God's love. That was not put back together very perfectly, was it? But it's back together. It would hold something, not like this would. But when you look at a clay pot and you look at your life and you say, hey, how could God use me? I've done so much wrong. I've done things that there's no way he can forgive me of. And yet he says, I've given you a hidden treasure. I want you to look at what's inside that hidden treasure, or what that hidden treasure is. Can you put back up there? Yes. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness. We sang that song this morning. God called the light out of darkness, made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What is the hidden treasure in that verse? We can read it. Anybody? Knowledge of what? God's glory. See inside us. God chooses to use us. Fragile, broken pieces. God chooses to use us to reveal his glory. I hope I didn't scare you with that. It is on the carpet, by the way, so it'd be easy to clean up. God takes you and I people who are like fragile pieces of clay. He not only takes that, he will put it all back together, prettier than what I did here. He uses his grace to do that. He uses his love. But he does it for a purpose, so that you and I can have the knowledge of God's glory residing inside of us. And there's a purpose behind why he wants us to have his glory living inside frail bodies. Verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The reason God wants his glory inside of each one of us and the knowledge of God's glory being displayed inside of us is so that his power is made evident. Verse 10 that we read says, so that our bodies, that the life of Jesus may be revealed to those around us. Now, can you put up Luke 18? What does it take to become like this? That was a real simple illustration of being able just to drop the clay onto the ground. That's not what it takes to become able to hold God's glory. Luke 18:9. This is the story. Jesus, it's a story, it's a parable where Jesus tells some people who were thinking they were pretty righteous and they had it all together. They probably looked at themselves and they thought they were like this. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees were probably somebody, unfortunately, like myself right now. They were the leaders of the church at that time. And they went around, did things, prayed, fasted twice a day. They fasted. They did, gave all kinds of things. You'll see here what it says. It says the two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Tax collectors were, in essence, at their time, probably looked on as the lowliest of the low people because of the things they did. They robbed from people, they stole, they were dishonest. The Pharisee stood by himself to one side. Notice look where he stood at. He stood off to the side and prayed by himself. God, he says, this is what he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And he saw the man standing over there to the side. But I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. What's that sound like? Pretty good guy? I mean, if you didn't read the rest of the story, if you didn't know the rest of the story, what do you think of when you hear him praying like that? You ever prayed like that? God, I thank you that I am so good. I am so righteous. I just got it all together. I'm perfect. I'm a perfect person. What's that tell you about a person's heart? What's on the inside? What? Pride. So I'm going to put pride on the inside. What else? What's that tell you about a person who prays like that? Is it wrong to pray like that? Full of himself. Okay. Is it wrong to pray like that?
When you're full of yourself, you don't have room for God.
Ah. So when you're full of yourself, you don't have room for God. Huh? Wrong intent. Okay. But is it really wrong to pray that way? You don't need to tell God how you are. He knows how you are. Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to that. But the tax collector. Now, I don't know what a tax collector looked like or dressed like or acted like other than what we've described in the Bible that Jesus was talked about as being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, and a couple weeks ago when we talked about that, John the Baptist was concerned because the tax collectors and sinners were known for what? Drinking, having a good time, partying, the whole nine yards, right? They weren't looked on as somebody who was pious and just had everything right. But this tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat on his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. What did we learn this morning in Sunday school class? That justified is what? What's our definition of justified? Just as if I had never sinned.
So in, Jesus is saying here that the tax collector went home just as if he had never sinned before God. And then he says this, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. What does it take in order to go before God and be justified? Does it like this or like this? What do you think? You say the broken one. Michelle says the broken one. You say what? You say both. Which one are you? You see, coming before God is not so much whether you're perfect like this or you're broken like this. Because if you're perfect like this, and you truly humble yourself and you come before God and you become broken, God will put you back together like this. Last year at conference, a pastor who I've come to know and really respect, name is Max Zook. He made a comment to me after we were sitting outside talking. And he said, you know, he said, Matt, it's the crack that Jesus gets through. What? What's he talking about? The crack that Jesus gets through. What's he talking about? What? I said, okay, thanks, Max. I said, I appreciate that. I typed it in my phone. Didn't have one of those nice squirrely things there, but I typed it in my phone. You know, I hadn't thought much about that until this past week. Person who's like this, who has been broken before God, like the tax collector, who recognized his need for Jesus, that he needed God, he can't have it anything other way. He's got lots of cracks. He's got lots of cracks in him. If I were to put a candle inside this one, it gets out, don't it? If I put a candle inside this one, it only gets out one way. Bono, you're right. Both of these, God loves. Whether you're broken, like this clay pot, or whether you're, in your own eyes, perfect before God and got it all together. God wants to reveal his glory through both of you, whichever one. But he prefers to use broken people. People who are broken and have a heart that says, God, I need you. He would much rather use this than someone who's like this. However, when you get put back together, becoming broken before God is not a one-time thing. It is an over and over and over again of coming back and saying, God, I want to be broken. I want to be broken. Some of the questions that were asked this morning in Sunday school class about, and we talked about how that God can accept us. How can God take somebody who continually goes back and does something wrong over and over again? It's because God wants to continually use broken people. And he wants his glory to be revealed out of broken people. That's the only way he can get glory out of us, is if we're broken. David in the psalmist said this, Psalms 51, a broken and contrite spirit. I don't know. Can you put that one up? Are you able to search that one real quick? This is what David said about God. Psalms 51. I didn't give that one to you, but I'm sorry. Psalms 51. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Nobody has to tell us what we do wrong, right? We know when we do something wrong. We know when our sin is there. Against thee, whoops. Go back to the other one. There you go. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. You cleansed me with hyssop. And I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Take your Holy Spirit, nor take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners. Is there any more? Yeah, there. Turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. Who are God, my Savior? My tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Think of the man who stood there praying his own prayer of how good he was. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. God doesn't care how perfect you look or how broken you are. He wants to use broken people. And it is to do one purpose, and that is so that the glory of God that is hidden deep within inside of us is revealed to those around us. In Matthew 21:44, we'll get there. We've kind of detoured today from Matthew and our series of Matthew, but in Matthew 21:44, it says this, that you and I can choose to fall on the stone, which is Jesus, and choose to become broken ourselves. In other words, you and I have the choice to literally break ourselves, to become broken. It is our choice. And is our choice alone. So if you choose to be broken, maybe on this side of the pot, but on this side, I don't want to be broken. God doesn't want you just broken on one side or one side alone. He wants to use all of you and have all of you that's broken. Because that's the only way that he's going to get glory out of you and I. So I ask you again, which pot are you? When going through this, I found myself more like this pot than this pot. And I think God would much rather have me broken into 1,000 pieces and that his grace may put it all back together so that his glory can be revealed through my life or through someone else's life that chooses and allows God to put them back together. I had to use super glue to put this back together. I'm so thankful that it's God's grace and his mercy that puts me back together. And it's his love that puts me back together and not super glue. Because I'm sure if I dropped this right now, it would break again. Why does God choose broken people? Why does he do that? Why? What did you hear about them three pots or two now? What did you hear this morning?
When we are broken, it allows us the, the ability to just soften our heart, to soften our existence, so that it will allow God to mold us the way he wants us to be molded. It positions us to get there.
He puts you back together the way he wants you. Surrender. Does God want all of you or only part of you? He wants all of us, right? Every part of us. It's not easy. It's not easy to give up something. God loves us so much. You know, as I was processing or thinking about this passage of scripture, I began to wonder, how in the world does this tie into Valentine's Day? You know, and I didn't know much about Valentine's Day. I had to go Google it. What's Valentine's? Valentine's was associated with candy. Valentine's card as a kid growing up, or mainly candy and Valentine's cards from my mom. I don't know what Valentine's is associated for you. But the more I think about it, when you and I are broken before God and we say, God, you can have all of my heart. You can have all of me. We are in essence giving God a huge Valentine's card. And God in turn gives us the greatest Valentine's gift that man he ever gave. And that is his son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, can I say this? Whoever believes in him, chooses to be broken, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to say any more. This is a short, probably a short sermon. I don't even know what time it is, but the worship team, come on up. And the reason I say that is because anything else I say from here on out is going to be from Matt, and I don't think it's going to come from God. I don't know what songs you got led to play, but while they're coming up and we can all stand, I'm asking that God's Spirit speak to you this morning. And I hope, I've already asked him that, and I hope that he did. And I hope that whatever whatever pot you see yourself as, whether it's one who tries to maybe look perfect on the outside like the Pharisee, or if you're like the tax collector who was broken, God wants both. He doesn't want it just always to be broken. He wants to put you back together. And this is how he sees you. Okay? This is how God sees you when he puts you back together. He doesn't see you like this. You and I see ourselves like this. But this is how God sees you. altar's always open, or our area we call the altar up here. And I'm just going to ask that God speak to your heart. And whatever He laid on your heart, if He's laid on your heart that, hey, you want to become more broken before Him, fine. But no matter if standing up in front of somebody or coming up front here doesn't going to make you more broken one way or the other. But if you want God to see you like this, and you don't think He sees you like this, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to allow the Word of God to show you where He sees you like this. But it takes a heart that says, God, I need you. I'm desperate for you.